This Sunday marks the last Sunday of the church year. The psalm of the day is Psalm 46. The scripture readings for this Sunday are the Old Testament reading taken from the prophet Malachi, chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. The epistle is from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, verses 13 to 20. And the Holy Gospel is according to St. Luke, chapter 23, verses 27 through 43. Pastor Magruder is basing today's sermon on the Gospel reading for this Sunday from St. Luke. He will read that for you now. Here is the Reverend David Magruder with the sermon for this Sunday, Jesus, Remember Me.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 23rd chapter, beginning with the 27th verse. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by, watching. But the ruler scoffed at him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, This is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. This is an odd reading for the end of the church year. If you know anything about the rhythm of the church year and the theme of these last days, ordinarily we'd expect a parable of judgment, the sheep and the goats, or the wise and foolish bridesmaids. But instead, we get Luke's picture of the crucifixion. But if you look and listen closely, you'll recognize that Good Friday is a kind of snapshot, a pattern of the last day. Just as last week we saw that the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple was a pattern and picture of the last day. Jesus follows the same pattern here as he makes his way down the streets of Jerusalem on his way to the place of the skull and the place of his crucifixion. The women were weeping and wailing over him. But Jesus says to them, Daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me, but weep for yourselves and your children. He's looking at the coming days when Jerusalem will be overrun by the Roman armies and laid siege, times when it would be worst for pregnant women and women with infants. And that isn't the worst of it. If they do this when the wood is green, what will happen when it's dry? No question. The end times go from bad to worse even still. And yet amid all of it, there is Jesus, praying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's not only his prayer over those who crucified him and cast lots for his clothing, but his prayer over all humanity and its collective insanity. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. It's his prayer for you and me living in these latter days. He's mocked by the religious leaders as he's mocked by religion today. No religion of this world tolerates free grace, unconditional pardon, forgiveness of the sinner. And the soldiers, too, mock Jesus with their cheap, sour wine and sarcasm. Save yourself if you're the king of the Jews. Politics and religion always mock Jesus. Always crucify him. Always want nothing to do with him. But even here on the cross, especially here on the cross, Jesus is King of all kings, Lord of all lords. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior of the nations. This is the last image the world gets of Jesus. Bleeding, dying, persecuted, ridiculed, and mocked. 500 would see him risen from the dead, but not the general public. 11 would see him taken up in the clouds. But this spectacle on Golgotha is for the whole world to see. This is the king and his kingdom as it appears in this world. In your minds, freeze frame that picture of Jesus on the cross between two convicted criminals mocked by church and state. That's the last image the world gets until he appears in glory on the last day to judge the living and the dead. The two thieves separated by Jesus are the sheep and the goats, the wise and the foolish, the believing and the unbelieving. They're also a picture of what has come in Jesus and what will come on the last day. Two sinners separated by the crucified sinless one, one on his right, the other on his left. Both men were guilty as charged, just as you and I stand guilty under God's law and judgment. Guilty of rebellion against him. Guilty of wanting to be gods in the place of God. Guilty of willfully violating his law. As it says in Romans chapter 3, there is no distinction, for all have sinned. All fall short of the glory of God. So, two guilty men dying next to Jesus. One rails against Jesus in unbelief. Aren't you the Christ? What sort of Messiah are you anyway? Save yourself. Save us. And here's the irony. In not saving himself, Jesus saved us and the world, including the one who railed against him. This one is the unbeliever, the old sinful flesh man, who refuses the salvation that is right next to him, who mocks the only Savior that there is. Even in the despair of death, he's full of hatred and mockery and joins his voice with those who stood at the foot of the cross of Jesus. His salvation is right there next to him, but he refuses to see it. In this Jesus, this crucified one, is pardon for his sins, acquittal before God, the promise of paradise. But he wouldn't have it. Instead, he mocks Jesus even in death. The other one believes. He is faithful. He bears witness to his fellow sinner. Don't you fear God? You're under the same sentence. We deserve this. The wages of sin is death. We deserve this. We all do. No one escapes this. But this man, this Jesus in between them, he's done nothing wrong. He confesses Christ. Jesus is innocent. More than that, he's sinless. And yet, in the mystery of God's mercy, God made this innocent, sinless Jesus to be sin for us. He's the criminal, the thief, the murderer. He became our sin, the sin of the world. He becomes our sin, so that in him we might become his righteousness, the righteousness of God. This is the judgment of humanity. God has judged sin in the death of his sinless Son. This man has done nothing wrong, and yet this man dies as the one who's done everything wrong, forsaken by God, condemned, persecuted, mocked, ridiculed, killed. He gets what we deserve, so that in the end, we get what he deserves. And then comes the prayer of faith. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's how faith prays. He asks for nothing but to be remembered by Jesus. He doesn't ask to be saved from the cross, to be spared the suffering, to be granted a last-minute pardon as the other one did. When death is unavoidable, faith embraces death and prays, Jesus, remember me. Do this in remembrance of me, Jesus said, giving out his body and blood. Do this for my remembrance. Remembrance works both ways. Faith remembers him, what he did to win forgiveness, life, and salvation for us. And he remembers us with his body and blood. Now, you can say, but that thief wasn't baptized and didn't receive the Lord's Supper. And that's true. Baptism had not yet been instituted. That comes after Jesus' resurrection. The supper had been given only to the 12, not yet to the world. But that too would come soon enough. But think of it. This dying thief had dying Jesus on the cross next to him. And from the lips of dying Jesus, the faithful criminal heard these words, these saving words, with Jesus' own Amen. Amen. Truly, I say to you, you will be with me in paradise. The guilty one is pardoned before God, justified for Jesus' sake. Though the world has found him guilty and sentenced him to die for his deeds, and justly so, the Son of God has declared him righteous, fit for life in paradise. The thief dies for his crimes, but he's pardoned of his sins by the sinless one who died next to him and promised him life. His death sentence becomes a life sentence thanks to Jesus. Jesus didn't say anything to the other thief. Jesus' silence over the other one offers no comfort. He stands condemned by his own words. How is Jesus to remember you in his kingdom if you refuse to hear and believe his words? So, what are we to think of ourselves on this last day of the church year? Which one of those on the cross are we? Remember who you are. You're baptized into the death of Jesus. In baptism, God declared you dead to sin and alive to him in Christ. You have been judged in the death of Jesus. Jesus remembers you as his beloved one. And that one who comes on the last day, Jesus, to judge, is the same one who came to the cross to be judged. The one who comes on the last day is the one who comes to you today with the gifts of his sacrifice. Jesus, remember me. That's faith's prayer. And Jesus' response is always the same. Amen. I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
We confess our holy Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please join us in the prayer the Lord has taught us, the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Collect of the Day. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you reign among us by the preaching of your cross. Forgive your people their offenses, that we, being governed by your bountiful goodness, may enter at last into your eternal paradise. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Go in peace and serve the Lord.